It's always a great pleasure when our next guest visits us. John Dean served as White House counsel for President Richard Nixon from 1970 to 1973. During the Watergate scandal, his congressional testimony helped lead to Nixon's resignation. Dean has written about Watergate in his New York Times bestsellers Blind Ambition and The Nixon Defense, What He Knew and When He Knew It. Among his other books are the national bestsellers Worse Than Watergate and Conservatives Without Conscience. He is a regular political and legal commentator on CNN. He joins us to talk about his brand new book, Authoritarian Nightmare, Trump and His Followers. The book is published by Melville House, and we welcome John Dean to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. Nice to join you.
Always a pleasure. So what brought you to write this particular volume at this particular time?
I noticed during the 2016 primaries that nobody was paying attention really to who was attracted to Trump's demographic style. This happened as he entered the presidency. They really were not paying attention. I had a decade earlier written a book you mentioned called Conservatives Without Conscience about how authoritarian leaders and followers were taking over the Republican Party and the conservative movement. Well, now with Trump, they had actually taken it over. They had an authoritarian leader. And I thought somebody ought to discuss the fact there's almost four or five decades of science that explain these people. It started in the aftermath of World War II and has continued right down to this day. And for some reason, it just baffled reporters. They didn't want to take a dive into it and understand it. So I thought somebody ought to get it out there, because this is the part of the Trump picture that nobody seems to understand, who they are and why they're with him.
It is. It does seem to be a mystery, and I'm curious as to, I mean, is it obvious to you, or is it really complex in its makeup?
The nature of the people is not particularly complex. What's happened is there have been studies of these people. It was as a result of World War II, when Hitler and Mussolini persuaded two countries to follow them, largely peacefully, to let them assume power, a group of scientists came over to Berkeley and said, could that happen in the United States? That's where it started. And they found out it could happen. And so this science, as I say, has been largely ignored. But here we are. Now, what we did in this study, I went to the leading expert who'd helped me on my book a decade ago when I was trying to understand what was happening to conservatives and realizing they'd been taken over by authoritarian personalities. And he was not surprised. He said, my branch of science has been long ignored. We don't exactly understand why. But he said, you know, until recently, until Trump, it really wasn't terribly important. When I told him I thought we should do a book together on this, he certainly agreed. We have done it. It is out there now. And he's not, of course, the only scientist. But what we did is, because the scientists had largely relied on students, their parents, small communities where universities are located to do their testing, nobody had really tested the entire American voting population. We decided we had to do that. The Monmouth Institute, Polling Institute, conducted the survey for us. It was about a 230,000 pool from which they drew down short of 1,000 voters. And they took the full battery of personality surveys. And we found, first of all, it confirmed the earlier science. We found that Trump's followers are authoritarians. They are different types of authoritarians. Some are called social dominators. Some are called right-wing authoritarian followers. And a few are called double highs, because they test high on both. But they are there in spades. They explain his presidency. And we now know exactly who the personalities who are so attracted to this man.
You know, it's one of the things that I find fascinating in this topic is that it should be noted, you were ready to call this book Authoritarian Nightmare before COVID-19 struck and before the racial unrest that we have are seeing, we've been seeing all summer and we're seeing to this day. So we were there already, and this has just been further exacerbated.
Exactly what we did. We had just finished our rough draft of the book when COVID-19 broke loose, and we said, you know, we suspected the way he would handle it, or the way Trump and the way his followers would tolerate his handling of it, would make a real good example of our nightmare. We had used lesser instances. We thought, you know, we had no. We thought the worst case could be a world war. That obviously, thankfully, did not happen. But it's pretty bad what did happen, and that's COVID-19 plus his bungling of this racial conversation we're having in America, where he's probably the least qualified man to hold that conversation.
One of the points that you make is that you worked for the last authoritarian president that we had. So just by that, you know, we'll take it that you know one when you see one. So in this case, with this president, but you say this is worse. We have gone even further, and I assume it's because what you were just describing, because of the followers, because of the supporters.
Well, I'm not sure that's true. I think that with Nixon, you actually had somebody who understood the presidency, who understood government, who'd come up through the House of Representatives, through the Senate, had been vice president, and really did believe and understand the institutions he worked for. Trump has really no knowledge of Washington. He doesn't even have a good newspaper knowledge. He doesn't read anything. You couldn't have had a more ignorant person arrive in the White House, and he hired nobody that really did know and understand how it all worked. He brought his family. So this has been the initial problem. He is, by sheer presence in the post, picking up information and learning how he can now corrupt various departments and agencies. To my amazement, William Barr has been anything but the model attorney general, rather being more a defense lawyer for a corrupt president. And so he's corrupted the Department of Justice and the FBI. Every place he touches, the Environmental Protection Agency, he has beat that to death. He's now working on the Food and Drug Administration, trying to corrupt it for political purposes. So he's now understands it, but he is not the most gifted man to have. He's bungled his way through to the mistakes he's made.
So the question I asked you was: isn't that worse? And I mean, just from what you just described, that seems worse to me.
It is worse than Nixon. Nixon. You know, the other thing is, to me, that's conspicuous. Richard Nixon actually could experience the emotion of shame. Donald Trump knows no shame. Nixon could be embarrassed. I don't think you can embarrass Donald Trump. Mm. So not only is there the ignorance factor, but there is the shame factor. It's really quite striking. You just can't embarrass this man into doing the right thing.
John
Nixon, you know, he also had a latent respect for the law, and indeed, when the evidence was overwhelming against him, he didn't want to put the country through an impeachment proceeding.
John Dean is our guest. The name of the new book is Authoritarian Nightmare, Trump and His Followers. I want to get back to the followers in just a second, but let me also, because we're talking about his supporters, the people who are out there and are the base, what we refer to as the base. Before we talk about them, however, I would like to talk about the Republican Party as a whole and their odd support of this president.
Well, what we found in the Monmouth survey is that there has been a mass migration of authoritarian personalities to the Republican Party. That is who populates the party today. While there's some other people there, some who have are attracted because of the economic interest of the or the opportunities the Republicans give them, by and large, they are either social dominators or right-wing authoritarians. So that is the core of the party today.
And obviously, that has changed quite a bit since you were in a Republican administration.
Yes. In fact, I still know a lot of Republicans, but they actually are rhinos. They're Republicans in name only. They're not active in any kind of politics or affairs. Some of them do vote. Some of them don't vote with the Republicans. It's a very different party today. The core, the Trump's base, and it is the core of the Republican Party, is really two large constituencies. One are white men with less than a four-year education. That's the one pillar of his support. The other being the born-again and evangelicals. That's the larger element of his base and larger pillar.
So let's talk about them. And you mentioned, of course, the survey. And what do we know about because one of the things that has been fascinating, I think, to many of us is that the number, when we look at the number of people who claim to be Trump supporters, that base, that it goes between 35% and 40% and really doesn't move. First question is, do you agree with that? Is that true? And two, if that is true, do you see it growing? Is it growing to a point of, well, re-election?
Well, we've seen very little growth, but what we've seen is the core base, as you say, hold in there between typically the low has been 40, sometimes the high has been 44% approval rating. There are elements, and they're pulling up, actually, a lot of other people. The white male without four-year education, their approval of Trump is running about 73%. The evangelicals and the born-agains, their support is about 80 to 88%. So they're pulling up on the averages an awful lot of other people.
I mean, you talk about this in the book. I mean, the president was famous for saying, talking about, I love the undereducated. And you write about this. I mean, these are people who in past elections may have been forgotten, but they stick with him, and it is a loyalty like no other, isn't it?
It really is. They have a unique intellectual skills, if you will, or lack thereof. They have almost no critical thinking. They're able to compartmentalize and have inconsistent positions. If they hear something that is negative about Trump, they can dismiss it and rationalize it away. So they don't see the world. I was actually talking to a radio host yesterday who said he talks to Trump people all the time, and he mentioned something that Trump had tweeted the night before, and it was just as plain as he had the tweet on his Twitter feed. And he said, you know, this guy just wouldn't believe that Trump had tweeted that. He made all kinds of excuses that obviously it was somebody else and so and so. So they're not going anywhere. They're solid in their support. They're irrational in their support, and they're there for him.
One of the things that is interesting to me in watching the Republican National Convention last week was that most of the key speakers, not all, of course, but most of the key speakers of the people with the main slots were family members. And that plays into this too, doesn't it? I mean, this is not going out and having other people. This is a very insulated, it shows of who the people are that, for want of a better word, he trusts.
That's the story of his life. He has surrounded himself with family and friends all of his life. Michael Cohen, who had for years proven himself trustworthy, is an exception to the rule. The other people who are still there, they probably fear him more than Cohen did, so he was ready to break. He is their lifeblood. The family are all worried they won't inherit from him, and so he has tremendous leverage on them. You know, it's a sad story that is long circulated. We know there's a book coming out on the First Lady, is that she's in essence under contract. She agreed to stay married because she was able to renegotiate a better prenuptial. So, you know, as Mary Trump said, nobody loves him and never has.
You write in your book, if it will restore your faith in a just world, no sitting president has ever given his opponent so many damaging statements or so much non-presidential behavior to remind voters how awful he has been, as has Donald Trump. And yet, John Dean, I'm still worried.
So am I. And that's one of the reasons for the book. As we, in the book, make a plea for young people in particular. We know they're not attracted to Trump. We know they do not vote as a bloc, as they could and should. And we're hopeful they will step up this time because they could certainly seal the deal and send him into retirement. But you're right. It's good to be worried because young people are probably the strongest solid constituent against him, and they're not dependable. So I am appealing to my granddaughters. I am appealing to their friends. And hopefully they will mobilize this time because, really, it's the future of democracy.
You talk in the book about his playbook and, you know, just some of the things in that playbook, the fear and loathing. Well, we certainly have seen that. The smear Biden tactics, we've certainly seen that. Create democratic disarray, vote suppression. All of these things are, again, you wrote this a while ago, but I mean, we're seeing all of these things because that's...
They were all very predictable.
Yes. So... That playbook was just illustrated and spoken during the convention, right? And what we're seeing even this week.
Exactly. It was almost too easy to predict that every sort of dirty trick and offensive campaign tactic you can employ, he would do so. And it may well go far beyond where it is right now. He is desperate. He's a man who is likely facing jail when he leaves the presidency. So he's going to be doing very, very desperate things to keep that office. And it's not going to be the feds. One of the typical things that the pattern happens that Democrats don't prosecute their predecessors. Trump certainly would have prosecuted anybody. He would have done Hillary. He would have done Obama. They may still try to cook up something with Bill Barr announcing this investigation of the Russia investigation is yet to come. It's some sort of late surprise before the election. Well, you know, Trump doesn't do that. Joe Biden is not likely to do that, but he should. But nonetheless, Trump faces state and local prosecutors because he's had a corrupt life. And Cy Vance is clearly right now the Manhattan prosecutor's on his trail. So even if the feds don't prosecute him, highly likely he could get prosecuted by a Manhattan district attorney.
You have a line in here that will send chills down your spine. If Trump wins the popular vote, then a majority of Americans will have endorsed an amoral authoritarian leader who could now do whatever he wanted. The question is not what he will do in a second term, but rather what would he not do?
And we went on to describe him like a two-year-old in a tantrum with keys to the tank. So we don't know what he'll do. It will be, it's a frightening prospect.
Well,
very frightening.
And to, if listeners are wondering where you're coming from, this, the that comes from a chapter that is titled "The November 2020 Election Will Decide the Fate of Our Democracy."
Exactly. You know, the founders just didn't contemplate the system breaking down as it has. And it's really the fault of the Republican Party. They refuse to hold him responsible. I don't get it why they think that not holding him responsible is somehow good politics. And they could cut him off and put him, hold him in check, and that he wouldn't be the threat he is. But they're unwilling to do that.
So are they followers?
Yes, they're followers and enablers. Most of them are social dominator type personalities, and the social dominators, while they want to be leaders themselves, they're willing to follow other stronger leaders until they get their shot. And they'll study them, follow them, do their bidding, and just wait their turn. So that's the practice. That's how you also get the so-called double high, the people who test as social dominators and are also score high as authoritarian followers. It's inconsistent, seemingly, to be a dominator and a submissive follower, but what happens is the domination part of the personality says, okay, I'd like to have people follow me in this way. That's why they respond to the test that way. And these tests are something that first they were administered for decades before we started this study, and then we actually used them with Trump's followers in the MAMA survey to test them. And sure enough, that's who these personalities are.
You spoke a moment ago, and my final question to you is about, because we were talking about the differences between Nixon and Trump, and I'm just curious as to I guess in some ways, this idea of not having any respect for government, that if he had that, the checks and balances would have come in more, right? I mean,
there are a lot of unwritten norms that are sort of the guardrails of democracy. One of the most recent norms he's violated is you don't use the White House for political campaigning purposes. Yeah,
right.
Sure, you can make an announcement there, but making it the backdrop of your convention, that's just so unprecedented. That building has been there for hundreds of years.
But if we...
No president has ever pulled a stunt like that.
But if we don't do anything about it, then it's not a guardrail anymore.
It is not a guardrail now. No, it shouldn't have happened. Yes, there are some Democrats investigating it now. Yes, there are a lot of people who violated the Hatch Act. And yes, if Trump is defeated, all those norms are going to be written into as laws. So in the future, presidents, and they'll have teeth in them. Because this president has shown you can't rely on somebody to do the right thing.
John Dean's new book is Authoritarian Nightmare, Trump and His Followers. It is published by Melville House. John Dean, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Authoritarian Nightmare by John Dean. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.